If you go to our website, and as a matter of fact, we've got a nice letter from a listener of ours in Tokyo. And, you know, we mentioned on the website that the Phil Hendry Show has a truly international reach. And I got an email today from Laura. She's a teacher in Tokyo. And she had emailed me earlier and said, well, I'd like to, you know, I like the show, Phil, and we're listening to you in Tokyo. I said, would you send us a picture? And she wrote back and said, sure. And so she sent me one of herself and her students. It's on our website. And that's not the first listener that we've heard from over there. We also, as I mentioned, and as you know, last week we got email from, it's really bizarre, we got listeners in India. And so, what the hell, I decided to put up there I guess the times. And what are you talking about, bud?
Well, what do you mean 7:30?
What do I mean 7:30?
Yeah.
7:30 a.m. Saturday morning, Calcutta time.
But that's not even a normal time.
What do you mean it's not a normal time? They're way ahead of us. You understand?
No.
Listen to me and try to figure this out. 7 o'clock in Los Angeles means it's 7:30 tomorrow morning.
You hung up on Mr. Hall.
Yeah, the dot headline. Is he kidding me with that?
You don't have a lot of dot heads complaining.
You mean Indian folks? I don't know why it's 7:30 in Calcutta. It's 7:30 in Calcutta, and that's the way it's going to be. 11 o'clock Saturday morning in Tokyo. 7, you know what I'm saying. So that'll be our webcast. You need a backstage pass. You must have a backstage pass. Nothing else will do. And to have that backstage pass, all you have to do is go to our website, www.philhendryshow.com, and you go in and, you know, like do your thing in there. You enter in your credit card. And then you get your backstage pass, you get a password, you'll get your, you know, your username, all of that baloney, and then you'll be able to log on at any time you want. Now, the podcast situation, as far as the music being edited out of the downloads, the music being edited out of our streaming, this is being worked on and all is going to be well. Everything is going to be... Now, is the music edited out of the bits, too? The music's not edited out of any of our bits. I don't know why that is. If the music's edited out of the streaming and the music's edited out of the podcast because of the RIAA, which is the Record Industry Association of Anus Town, the record thing of America, then you have to, I don't know, man, we have to pay it. Here's the letter from Laura. It says here, I said to her, would you please send us a picture? It says, hey, Phil, sure. Attached is a picture of me with some of my 12th grade students. I teach at a high school here in Tokyo, and my friend, coworker Mark, the nice guy who introduced me to your show a few years ago. You know what's funny about your bowl haircut joke? The Japanese are probably the most obsessed people in the world when it comes to hair. Everyone has to have a different hairstyle, and in trying to be even more unique, they dye their hair brown. Of course, 80% of all people, therefore, dye their hair brown here in Japan, so the majority end up having brown hair. I'll keep trying to get my English-speaking Japanese friends to listen to your show, but the sense of humor is quite a bit different here, so fewer people appreciate it, unfortunately. Take care, Laura Hoke Kagi. And she sends along that picture. The bull haircut is a reference, obviously, to whatever. So Laura's emailing in. Tonight we're going to have Bob Bakian reporting. Chef Carl Chedilia will join us. Mavis Leonard, Tony Neal. Jeff Dowder from Caltech with a new invention, and a Fox Sports update, Phil Jackson back with the Lakers. What do you make of that one? Boy, that's something else. Phil Jackson back with the Lakers after saying that the team wasn't exactly... I'll tell you why he's back with the Lakers. He's back with the Lakers because he wants to prove that he can coach a bunch of guys that aren't that good. And he wants to prove that he doesn't need a Rodman. He doesn't need a Michael Jackson. He can do it with a Kobe and whoever the hell else the Lakers have got. I can't even begin to... I don't know who they are. So, you know, good luck, man. I think it'll be nice to, you know, maybe have a team that can win a few. But it doesn't matter to me, even though I'm on a sports station. We don't do sports. Kind of like me being on Air America, we don't even begin to have a liberal point of view. I mean, some stuff I'm liberal about. It just so happens it's my misfortune that we had this thing called 9/11 and a war in Iraq, and like I'm in favor of all that stuff. So it makes me sound like, you know, I ain't fitting in on Air America. So I understand that we have some Air America affiliates that are increasingly upset with the point of view that we take on the show. And I have to ask you, Air America people, before you pull the plug on my show, just exactly what do you mean when you say freedom of speech? What exactly? And I want you to answer me this question. Any Air America station out there right now, what happens if your host comes in one day and says, you know what, I actually think George Bush is okay. Do you fire him? Or do you tell him not to say it on the air? Okay, see what I'm saying? So then can you really say that you have a host who is speaking honestly? Or are you saying that you've got a host who, you know, is just not allowed to say what he's supposed to say, and you'll fire him if he does? How does that work? I just want to know. Or do you take care to hire people who will never, ever change their point of view about anything? What does this mean, man? What is your whole... I'm scared. You're scaring me with your whole Air America thing. I got to know exactly what the editorial policy of your network is. I think you fire anybody that ain't digging the whole, you know, like anti-war thing. I think you can them outright, don't you? Like, you'll probably pull a plug on me because one too many times I said Bush is okay in my book. And let's kill more ragheads. You don't dig that? You're going to get a lot of calls from old ladies in sneakers saying, get that Hendry off the air? You're going to get a lot of calls from wispy-haired college students, you know, those thin guys with those horn-rimmed glasses with that, like, partial beard, and their girlfriend still grows the hair in her legs, and they shop at the co-op, the whole thing. And she's got the underarm, you know, the hair under the arm, and God forbid that he should say anything about it. Like, what happens if the guy changes his mind? You know, honey, I've been thinking, I really want to empower women, but could you shave your underarm hair because it smells? And why, you pig? Well, darling, I was just, you chauvinist pig. You've been co-opted. And all that there schmear, baby. What's going on with that? That's crap. It's crap. I'm going to get Darren Brown on here. I know that he manages an Air America station there in Pierre, is it, Bud?
P.
P, South Dakota. We'll talk to him in a moment about his Air America policy. Where are you right now, Darren?
Right now, I'm enjoying downtown. I'm walking downtown with my wife here, downtown Pierce, South Dakota. A little bit of shopping.
You're in downtown?
That's correct, Sally. I'm downtown Pierce, South Dakota. It's a beautiful, bustling drumming.
All I'm hearing are like crickets and a campfire.
That's right. We're downtown Pierce, South Dakota. And well, the campfire here in Phil is probably one of the places you stop and get something to eat. A lot of places to eat here in Pierce, South Dakota. A lot of good things with food.
A lot of great things to...
This guy's pissing me off.
Shut up, bud.
You say something, Phil?
Nothing. No, sir. So you're downtown, and crickets and a campfire.
Right, Phil. Hey, listen, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about something, Phil. I know we're on the air right now. I don't want to talk about things that are bothering me, but I think there's some things I think you need to know, Phil. About the things that you're doing on your radio show. And I think that, Phil, that...
We're going to kill him.
Bud, shut up.
I didn't guess that, Phil.
No, nothing. My intern, Bud Dickman.
Bud Dickman, I've heard an awful lot about him. It's a great thing. You hire a retired kid with a steel plate in his head. I think it's a fantastic thing.
Okay, now I'm going to hurt him bad, and I'm going to hurt him in the groin area.
Be quiet and back off.
Say something about my groin?
No. No, I didn't say anything about your groin. Why would I say anything about that?
No, I said something about your groin, you fruit.
I heard some kind of a retard voice.
No, nothing. What did you want to talk to me about, Darren?
Well, Phil, I'll tell you something about your show. You know, it's a great show, very progressive show. You know, we are progressive. Air America is very progressive, but we're not that progressive. Okay? And
what do you mean you're not that progressive?
Well, I'll tell you something, Phil. See, one of the things about having a program on our radio station is we are the progressive Air America network, but when you're too progressive, in other words, when you have an opinion that is both conservative and liberal, when, in other words, you think for yourself, it's a little too progressive for Air America, Phil. So get you back it off a notch, Phil. I'll just ask you to back it down a notch.
Darren, when you say back it down a notch...
Well, I tell you, we're getting a little bit of mail here from a lot of people. They want you to kind of do a little bush bash, huh? Hey, Phil, how about doing a bush bash? Come on. Remember that time you had on that guy, Chris Norton, and he was talking about No Bush Day? Well, he's going to get out there and shape the women and...
The FCC is...
Well, I don't want you to do anything that's going to bother the FCC.
I'm going to hurt the man.
But just back away.
Somebody say they're going to hurt me?
Yeah, I'm coming through the phone line.
Bud, get away from the phone.
I'm going through the phone.
Get away from the phone.
Hey, who's this retard with a blink of his head? Oh, my God, it's the same guy that came through the last time. I'm going to hurt you. Get it off of me! Get the card off of me! Yeah, I'll get off here.
Bud, come on, man. This is a felony, man.
Yeah, I got a felony. I got your felony swinging. Get this thing off of me with the metal plate in its head.
What are you doing?
I'm strangling with the phone cord.
There are no phone cords on a cell phone.
Oh, yeah. What? You'll hear from Al Franken.
Is he dead?
You bet he's dead.
Well, get out of there.
I'm going to stuff the body here. I'll stuff it in this bush.
I heard him say you're going to hear from Al Franken.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Getting rid of the body.
Well, hurry up, will you? This is being broadcast all across America.
Jeez, this place is creepy. Downtown, huh?
Yeah, just do it, will you?
He's got a big butt. Get in here. Hold on for a minute, Phil.
Will you hurry up?
Hold on. Hey, anybody here got a wood chipper?
Will you come on out of that phone?
All right. Huh? I'm out.
Man! You beat that guy to unconscious every week, man. You're going to get arrested for that.
No guy talks the way he does and should live.
You mean his opinions?
No, just the way he talks. I mean, I know I sound funny, but any man that talks like that, puking every other word, he ought to die painfully.
Get out of here, man, before the cops call.
Okay, I'm out of here.
Go over to Doc Pleat's house.
Yeah.
You notice the phone line was still open there to downtown. What, is his cell phone still on or something, bud? And how you go through the phone line on a cell phone, that's a whole new thing. Get out of here. Sorry about that, Air America affiliates. We'll try to do a better job. 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I wanted to bring on Jeff Dowder now to talk a little bit about a tragedy that happened at Disney World. And, Jeff, be very careful with this man, the little four-year-old boy.
Yeah, Phil, that's correct. My sources tell me that a four-year-old boy passed out on a Walt Disney World Mission space ride and died in the apparently intense simulation of the rocket launch and on a trip to Mars, kind of hurted him. He was with his mother and his eight-year-old. That's a really bad thing, but that's the whole thing I'm talking about, where you need to get some sort of certification for these rides. I just don't think it's cool anymore, you know?
What do you mean certification, man? These are freaking amusement park rides.
They're amusement park rides, okay, yeah. Okay? Okay, yeah, you're right about that. Okay? Okay, Mr. Hendry?
Yes, yes.
Okay. But anybody who is a fan of extreme thrill rides, a fan of extreme adrenaline rush rides, knows that a lot of these are pretty intense. And you need to, in my opinion, yes. Now, yes, I do agree. We do need certification.
All right, what kind of rides are we talking about? What kind of rides? This was a space ride that Disney thought was safe for a little boy.
Well, Disney, I think, needs to kind of reapproach it. There's a lot of rides you need certification on. I'm fully certified for merry-go-round. I'm certified for carousel. And I've just recently been certified for the teacups. And
what do you mean you're certified for a merry-go-round?
Oh, so in other words, oh, yeah, you don't get it. Number one, Phil, and plus, the Air Force, I went over to the Coast Guard and took their certification for the Dumbo ride.
Now, what do you mean the Dumbo ride, dude? Those rides you don't need certification for.
Really? Okay. Well, get a load of Mr. Daredevil. Yes, you do. There have been people who have died horribly on Dumbo-style rides.
And how?
Getting flung out.
At what, 2 miles an hour?
I don't know what Dumbo ride you've been on or whether you even know what a Dumbo ride. It's the big elephant, right?
Yes.
You've been on a ride where you get into a seat and it looks like an elephant with a smile on its face?
I don't know if it had a smile.
Okay, it might not have been, you know, could have been just a standard elephant ride. Chris Norton's with you. Chris, don't elephant rides.
What do you mean a standard elephant ride, man? The only one that I know of is the Dumbo ride.
Okay, Chris, he's got a smile?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure about that. And also, okay, hold on.
He's going to check into it.
Now, what's to check into, man? The Dumbo freaking ride is a little kiddie ride.
I don't think so, okay? Whoa. And the teacup ride, are you telling me that you've never seen the inside of a teacup coated in vomit? Yes or no?
Have I ever?
Have you ever seen a teacup coated in vomit? Yes or no?
Yes, I have.
Okay. You know as well as I do, you get the teacup going fast enough, someone aspirates food particles, and it will perfectly coat the inside of the teacup and any Christian soul sitting in it. And these are the things what you got to think about.
And any Christian soul. All right, so to certify somebody for Dumbo and the merry-go-round, I can't even imagine that happens. You're trying to tell me there have been fatalities on Dumbo.
I didn't say fatalities. I'm saying Dumbo-style rides have caused certain people to flare. I saw a guy got on a, you know, the carousel over there where the horses you go, guy got crushed. He just got crushed.
By what?
He just, you know, he bent down to tie his shoe, and the horse came down on him. And
is the guy tying his shoe underneath the horse as it's going up and down?
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think that's going to happen. He got crushed? Did he get killed?
No. No, he didn't get killed. He just got crushed.
But how do you get crushed and not... What kind of bull crap is this, man? A little boy, 8 years... What is he, 4 years old?
Phil, I understand. What I'm trying to tell you, it's either that, or we shut Disney down, or we do something even worse. We subject it to periodic inspection. And
what would be wrong with that?
Because people... No, you can't...
Why? Why? I'm in favor of that. Why doesn't Disneyland, Disney World, and all the associated parks open themselves up to periodic inspection? I mean, isn't it time we have some kind of an amusement park inspector?
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure, Phil. That's what we need, man. And the next thing you know, you have got them going through your underwear drawer, looking into your past, looking into your files. So, in other words, you're in favor of a police state. I don't think, you know, right now... And
I'm not talking about a police state, man. I'm talking about a guy...
You have people going into Disney World or any of them parks, checking out to see whether the Dumbo ride is going to fling a guy. Next thing you know, they're going through your wife's underwear. So what's it going to be, man? What's going to...
I don't see it happening.
You know, I can tell by the way you're stumbling around. I'm not here to argue with you, Mr. Henry.
Well, I'm not here to argue with you either. But for you to say that for me to have an amusement park inspector means that one guy's going through my wife's underwear drawer, you're telling me that George Orwell is going to all of a sudden...
Look, we got enough. We know the black helicopters are waiting to come all down on us. And you want to have a guy checking out how a ride works? The next thing you know, it's the Men in Black, man, and they're pulling your fingernails out. That's great. Thanks a lot, Phil. I go to Disney World, and the next thing you know, I got Chip and Dale attaching electrodes to my testicles. What is that? I mean, what is that about, man? I mean,
yeah, that's what's going to happen. Chip and Dale turn into a couple of South American cops. Did you see the news today where now, and it, of course it was buried on page 90, where the doctors did the autopsy on poor Ms. Chavo and ascertained what the husband, Michael Chavo, had been claiming all along, that there was no way you were going to reverse the brain damage. No way. And, of course, this man was subjected to every kind of vilification, and now they want to know, did he beat his wife? And, of course, he said, no, I didn't. Well, they're not going to believe him. See, people just, you know, fantasy land, man, it beckons. They may be flinging people off of roller coaster rides over there, but they still want to, you know. Do you realize that Mission to Mars ride where the little boy died? The line was around the block for it yesterday. And anyway, I'm not saying I wouldn't go on it. I mean, what should be my editorial stance here, bud?
Is Disney an advertiser?
I don't know.
Then shut up.
All right. Now, it's time for our flashback. Brad Rifkin was the guest, and this is a request from a guy who calls himself Mr. Z, but in point of fact, it was sent by a guy named Scott. Scott just doesn't sound as cool as Mr. Z does it. For the love of God, Phil, please play a flashback of your bit where the smarmy ad guy wanted to use Terry Schiavo to market his water. It was the funniest damn thing I ever heard and can't remember the slogan or the name of the water. Please help before I flip completely out. Yours in fandom, Mr. Z. Well, the slogan was, blink if you're thirsty. And here it is, Brad Rifkin, the Terry Schiavo water thing.
You're saying you're going to help the handicapped. How much money is the company donating from every bottle of water that they sell for this?
To the everything, handicapped? Everything, after our production costs.
What's everything? I mean, a bottle of water costs a buck. Say,
every nickel we make, we're giving to the Crippled Society or whatever
right,
it is.
Crippled Society?
Well, whatever it is.
Do you have a charity picked out, or is it just going to be
anybody? Whatever society is for people that are like her.
Well, what is that? Have you, as the gentleman said, have you picked one out?
There's a lot of them.
People like her. I mean...
Well, that are vegetables. I don't know. How do you say it? You know, they're... I don't know if there's a vegetable commission or if there's...
What do you mean a vegetable commission? Is there you mean a place for people who are... I don't know what you call it, but comatose?
All right.
Every dime?
Every dime after production costs, yes, sir.
Now, that's a guarantee. Every dime is going to go there.
Yes, sir, after our production costs, yes.
I guess that's probably... Is that going to be... factor your what you're going to make out of it too? How much are you going to make out of this?
Well, we have to pay salaries, and we've got production costs. I've got men working on the line. You know, whatever. You want me to tell these guys to bottle up water, then get in their cars?
No, I'm talking about you.
What do you mean me?
What are you gonna,
oh, wait a minute.
Are you going to hand me anything?
So the guys that drive the bottled water truck get to get paid, and I don't. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I'm just saying that, you know.
I come up with an ad campaign that feeds his family. He gets paid and I don't. That's
all right, but the man is asking, how much are we talking about here?
I don't know, but I mean, I've got to get paid. Everybody gets paid. We got the production costs, salaries, overhead.
You know, I think you're on the right track here, but I think the statement you're saying, Link, if you're thirsty, I think that's very, very distasteful. I think if you're going to do something, you could come up something a little more tasteful than that. Because you've turned me off. I won't buy that water.
Why?
If I'm in the desert and you offer it, I'll probably drink it.
Well, there you go.
I probably won't pay it.
At least you're honest enough to say, well, you'd have to pay me. I'm not giving it away.
So the guy's dying of thirst.
I tell you what, I think you could make a lot more money for the handicap if you'd come up with something a little more tasteful than that. I think
that is my opinion, too, yeah.
But you don't mind us using
tasteful.
You don't mind us using Terry Schiavo's picture?
Well, I don't think so. No, if her family okays it to help the other
people. They don't. They got nothing to say about it.
Well, I think they might.
No, they don't. I mean, it's public domain.
I think ethically, if they don't legally, they should ethically. And I think.
Yeah, you're going to use this girl's face to sell your water.
No, but it's public. She was on the news on account of she got, brain dead. See? But how about this? Well, anything else sounds bad. If I say, like, grunt if you want a drink, that's not good?
What do you mean grunt if you want a drink?
Because they.
Why does she have to do anything?
All right, then this was the other idea I had. Terry Schiavo loves Snow Peak Mountain water, we think.
So there he is, Brad Rifkin. And Ted, what'd you think of that bit? I think you came on that night right after that.
Very clearly, Phil, Mr. Rifkin, I have to tell you, I am not a fan of that kind of manipulative advertising. You know I'm in the retail business. You know I've been in the retail business, Phil, off and on for 21 years, what with the steakhouses and the other things that I do. But the reason why I called your program, you know as well as I do that a lot of times I have expressed opinions, the editorial content of which has gone contrary to the instincts of your audience. And I had an experience today, Phil, that I want to sort of just toss out to your audience right now. If I just want to kind of just, I don't know, just take the experience that I had today and just sort of fling it out the window and see if it hits anybody's windshield, you know, as my wife likes to say. What happened to me today, Phil, and I'm Ted Bell, and I'm the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Hello, everybody. I'm Ted Bell.
Don't worry about it, Ted. I'll be interviewing you.
Oh, okay. So this is not... I didn't know if you were going to... I didn't hear you.
No, I'm here.
All right. I'm Ted Bell, and I own Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Now, I'm driving down the 405 freeway at 2:45 this afternoon. And for those of you who don't live in the greater Los Angeles basin, the 405 is a freeway that...
It goes down the west side. Tell us what happened.
Well, at 2:45 a.m., or excuse me, 2:45 p.m., a police officer in, I believe, a highway patrol vehicle, and I'll even tell you the number, car 811, pitched a cigarette butt out on the pavement. Okay? Now, let me tell you something. I don't want to get that officer in trouble.
You say the officer in car 811.
811, California Highway Patrol, car 811, flicked what looked to me like a stained Pall Mall butt out his window.
And well, how can you tell?
There wasn't a filter on it, I'll tell you that right now. There was no filter. This guy was smoking Pall Mall or Camel Straights. Real butch. Real regular army, this guy. All right, now, I'm saying to you, I don't want to get the officer in trouble, but what I am saying to the California Highway Patrol, and I speak on behalf of a lot of people who own HPVs,
What is an HPV?
High-performance vehicle. That means any automobile that is a V8 engine on up. I think that you need to rethink your approach to how we drive. You know very well that we have high-performance vehicles. You guys are sitting there just itching to give me a speeding ticket. Well, guess what? I saw one of you guys flick a butt out a window. Now, how does it feel? And I am saying,
I don't think I like your tone.
What do you mean?
I don't like the way you're talking to this cop. And yet, what are you, threatening him?
I'm telling you right now, the guy in car 811 who flicked that butt out the window, I come down the 405 freeway every day
from my home in Beverly Hills at Brentwood over there to the steakhouse. I drive a McLaren SLR, a high-performance vehicle, and someone's going to pull me over for speeding, and I saw that guy flick a butt out a window like he's, all of a sudden, what is he, Jack, what is this? He thinks he's Punch, what's his name? You know, what's the guy, the Punch, Punchy?
Who's Punchy?
The guy on that show about the cops. His name was Punchy.
Punchy?
Are you talking about Punch?
What do you mean, Poncherella from Chips?
I'm not familiar with that. They had a guy named Punchy.
On Chips?
I don't know that show either.
Well, what show are you talking about, man?
Look, don't be yelling at me. I saw this cop flick a butt out the window at 2:45. Now I want some action.
You want to go riding up and down the 405 at 9 million miles an hour in your SLR McLaren Mercedes, and some cop flicked a butt out a window, and you think that gives you a get-out-of-jail card free?
You got it. Thank you. Yeah, okay, there you go. I get one free get-out-of-jail card, do not pass go, and do not collect $200. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. There are a lot of us in the HPV area. Yes, we are well-to-do businessmen.
Yes.
We have homes in Beverly Hills.
Yes.
All the things you hate, you and your listeners hate. Well, guess what? I saw this cop at 2:45. Let me make sure I got the 2:45 pitch what looked to be an American Spirit Camel or Pall Mall butt out a window, no filter. And he just looked like he thought he was Adolf Hitler. And so,
well, I'm not entertaining any comparison between a police and Hitler, and I'm certainly, if you think that I'm going to let you promote speeding as...
Wait a minute, I'm a sponsor.
Well, you could be a sponsor, okay, and I could cancel your sponsorship.
Whoa, ho, 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 ho. Get a load of you. Boy, you're finally growing a pair.
Yeah. You talk to David, bud, and you tell him I don't care if this guy's on the show anymore.
You need the money. Your show is not sold out. You gotta get a lot of money. Is that a fart sound?
No, it's not a fart sound. I mean, like, get out of here.
You farted, I would.
Phil, I just read an article about Disney keeping its death ride open that killed the 4-year-old last week. It looks like they plan to keep the ride operational until all the, quote, facts are in, end quote. Any chance you have a character who can be the Disney public affairs representative and start an ad campaign calling it the scariest ride of all time has already claimed one life. And this is signed Ryan in Syracuse, New York. Ryan, dude, the last time I did a bit with me at Disney, I almost got sued. I did a bit where I was... You remember the bit we did, bud, where we were at Disney?
No.
You don't?
No, I wasn't here yet.
Oh, you weren't here yet. What do you mean you weren't here yet? Anyway, I don't know. It was me at Disney World or Disneyland, and some lady called because the bit had a kid running up and hitting me in the, you know, in a private area with a bag, with a sock filled with ball bearings. Some woman calls Disney and says, there's a radio host and he's been attacked by a kid with ball bearings and a sock. Disney flipped out. The radio station I was on flipped out. They said, well, you can't do any more Disney-related material. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that talk radio is some kind of a font of information that is, you know, you're really going to get the truth from your favorite host, whoever the cat is, unless he's Rush Limbaugh, who can pretty much, or Howard Stern, both those guys can pretty much do whatever they want. Unless they're them, everybody else is at the behest of somebody in a sales department who's screaming about an advertiser. And I remember I had to clear any Disney-related material from that point forward with a radio station general manager. So, no, dude, it ain't exactly something I'll be doing anytime soon. Thank you so much. Dear Phil, I regret to inform you that I'm suing you. After listening to Bobby Dooley screw with several callers during last night's bit about her having someone kicked out of Western Estates because their kid told her a joke that ended with the phrase, no effing way, I was so exhausted from laughing I felt as if I'd just thrown down with the sodomites and undergone several days of prisoner-on-prisoner jailhouse rape. Expect to hear from Dolores Blazingame very soon, Dave.
Good God.
I've never heard of a guy saying a bit so funny that he was cast down with the sodomites.
You'll feel like someone did it to you with a train.
Dear Phil, I've been listening to you for several years, and one of my favorites is the time Tony Neal, acting as Senator Kerry's fundraiser, completely melts down in the bit, and at the end morphs into Renfield by the end. Could you play it as a flashback? One of my favorite lines is from this one. I know it's originally from Dracula, but it's so hilarious when shouted by an insane Tony Neal, referring to Senator Kerry, rats, thousands of rats, all red blood, all red eyes, like his, only smaller. My fiancé Charles and I use this line all the time. We find it to be a very versatile phrase that can be used for anything from eliciting a few chuckles to something to say when you don't know what else to say in a tense social situation, like a wedding toast or when someone shows you a picture of their ugly baby and expects a compliment. I'm sure. You got a toast there, bud? Well, rats, thousands of rats, all red blood, all red eyes, like his, only smaller. I'm going to replace my Herb Sewell cell phone ringer speech, quote, I've been chemically castrated, I've had shock therapy, end quote, with the rat speech very soon. P.S. My cat, Chef, has been listening to you almost daily since he was a kitten. He knows your voice as well as ours. When we drive from Texas to Illinois, we played you nonstop in the car to keep him calm. He says, hi, Phil, and would really dig it if you said, he's the chef on the air. Thanks, Tara.
So say it.
I just did.
What?
He's the chef.
Then say it.
Yeah, okay, man. You can do your Abbott and Costello stuff later on. I got to take a break.